There it is. That will help. Now turn me down just a little. Well, this looks a little bit different than it did in here yesterday. I'm telling you, we had a house full with chairs lined up all the way around the building and people standing. I guess that's the biggest crowd we've had at school, I think. And it ranks up there with them anyway. And so we had a good crowd, a good program. The kids did a good job and enjoyed the program that they put together. All the teachers and students worked hard on that, and so we had a good time. Tonight, take your Bible, turn to John chapter number 1. We usually, during Christmas season, we try to key in on the birth of the Lord, and most of the time we're looking at Matthew and Luke, those two Gospels. The Gospel of John does not have anything to say about the birth of the Lord as such. There's no manger scene. There's no wise men. John is a very different Gospel than the other three and has a lot of different things in it. But when we read John chapter number 1, I believe this is a story that gives us what Christmas really is all about. And it is concerning the Word, which of course we know is the Lord. And the Bible says the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And so tonight I want us to sort of look at those that statement and see what John has to say about the incarnation when he came to this world. And of course that is the Christmas story, the birth of the Lord, he being God became flesh. So let's read in verse number number 1. We'll read down through verse number 14 and notice some things here tonight. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The message that John gives to us is a message that declares the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of all the Gospels in the Scripture, and all the statements concerning the Lord in the Scripture, John has as clear a presentation of who Jesus is and who he was as anyone. He says the Word, he establishes first that we know who the Word is. In the beginning was the Word. And then he says the Word was made flesh. And so that is the birth. That's the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course in these past few weeks, and a lot of things have been said about the birth of Christ, a lot of things said about Christmas and all that he did for us through the incarnation. We have noticed a lot of different things. I jotted down some things here, what the Lord has done. He sought us, then he bought us, he convicted us, he illuminated us, he convinced us, he graciously saved us, he marvelously keeps us, he abides within us, he works through us, he protects us, He forgives us. He guides us. And one day He's coming for us. And all those things concerning the Lord took place because in the beginning was the Word. And then in the process of time, we have the history of the Bible, have the history of the Old Testament. And in that process of time, Jesus Christ, born of a woman, and literally the Word became flesh. And that is the Christmas story. It's not necessarily the manger scene. It's not the three wise men. It's not the star. It's not the shepherds. But it is the birth of our Lord. It's the birth of the Son of God. Literally God coming in the flesh. And so just for a few minutes tonight, I want us to look at these 14 verses here and note some things about them. We find that when we look at verses of John chapter 1, we find a manifestation. We see a revealing of who the Lord is. In John 1:1, we find the manifestation of the Son of God. The apostles knew the closeness and the relationship with Him. The Bible says they heard Him. The Scripture says they saw Him. They handled Him. And, of course, they were with Him in all the different things of His ministry. John chapter 7, verse 46, tells us that never a man spake like this man. And those apostles heard the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. They heard Him. John, or Ephesians chapter 1 says, in whom we have also trusted, after that we heard the word of truth. Of course, the Apostle Paul writing that, the word of truth, which is the gospel of our salvation. Not only did they hear Him, they saw Him. John chapter 20. Then said He unto Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, and thrust into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto Him, my Lord and my God. Of course, the story of this account, Thomas had been missing that first occurrence of the appearance of the Lord. And Thomas said, I'm not going to believe it unless I can see Him. And a week later, the Lord permitted Thomas to see Him. He tells him to put his fingers in his hands, thrust the fingers into his side. And he believed, and he understood who the Lord Jesus Christ was. 1 Peter 1:8 says, whom having not seen, ye love. We have not seen Him with our eyes, but we've seen Him with the eye of faith. And therefore, we love Him, and we can rejoice because of the glory that awaits the child of God. So they heard Him, they saw Him, they handled Him. Luke chapter 24, Luke says, behold, Jesus said, behold my hands and my feet, that is I myself, handle me and see. For the Spirit hath not flesh and bone. And they touched Him, they saw Him, and they, of course, believed. So the disciples had a very unique position in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ because they were with Him from the very beginning to the very end, and they saw and heard the word, saw the miracles. They were there with Him in many, many different occasions. And so they understood who He was, and they believed Him, and they trusted Him, of course, all except the betrayer named Judas. But in these verses tonight, I want us to see the Lord. And I think it's very easy to see some of the aspects of His life, not only here upon earth, but His eternity. His eternity past and present, with His people, and even yet in the future. In verse number 1 and verse number 2, we read those words. It says, in the beginning. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word. And literally, John is just restating what Moses gave to us in the first words of the Scripture, because the Word was God. And so John says basically the same thing, in the beginning was God. And so tonight we see Him in His person as God. We believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And we believe He is just as much God as God the Father. We went into that a little bit last week. Jesus said unto them in John chapter 8, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." And that little phrase, "I am," means a continual process, never ending, never starting. Jesus said, "I am just here. I am. And that's exactly what He told to Abraham. Abraham said, "Who are you?" And he said, "Who am I going to tell?" Or Moses said, "Who am I going to go tell that sent me?" And God says, "You just tell them I am sent you. They'll understand. They'll know who you're talking about." And so here we find in John, Jesus repeats those same words, and He says unto Abraham, "Before Abraham was, I am." Abraham's in the past tense. And Jesus is in the present tense. And Jesus is always in the present tense. He's always now and now. There in Exodus 3, those words I said a moment ago, He speaks to Moses, "I am that I am. And thou shalt say to the children of Israel, I am, has sent you, sent me unto you." And it just, the word "I am," the root word of that in the Hebrew, it means to exist. Doesn't mean you come into existence. It doesn't mean you have an end of life or an end of existence. The words "I am" just simply means I'm existing. And He's always been there for us, always will be. So we see in verse 1 and 2, we see Christ, His person, who He really is. He is God. Thank the Lord tonight we may be focusing on a manger scene. We may focus upon the songs of Christmas and the birth of our Lord. But really and truly, when Jesus was born, He came into this world and became flesh. Jesus, same yesterday, today, and forever. The Lord has always been and always shall be. So we see His person, Jesus Christ, as God. Now, we don't worship three gods, we worship one God. We worship a triune God, and He's manifested in different ways. The God of heaven is the Father. He's manifested as Father. Jesus is given to us as His Son. Jesus, when He came, John says, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And John baptizes Him, and a voice from heaven says, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." And then the Holy Spirit, as we dealt with a little bit last week, the Holy Spirit is given to guide and to point everyone to the Lord Jesus. The Holy Spirit never, never does magnify Himself. He's always a magnifier of the Lord. He's the Comforter. He's that constant companion with each of us. So in verse 1 and 2, we see Him session here in these words. In the beginning, He was the Word. We see the person of the Word of God and He being the Word. In verse number 3, all things were made by Him. Now we see Him not only in His person, but we see the power of the creation. He was in that creation. God said, "Let us." God was talking within Himself. He said, "Let us make man in our image." And John tells us all things were made by Him, and without Him, speaking of the Word, without Jesus, without Him, was not anything made that was made. So everything we see tonight is a direct result of the creation of the Lord. Everything we look at, every star that we see, every sunbeam that goes across our forehead, everything that we encounter in this world is a direct result of the creative act of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and in Him, and all things were made by Him, creation. And so we see His power. Genesis says in the beginning, God, and that's the Lord, created heaven and earth. So everything we see in heavens, everything we see upon the earth, is created of God. Everything that God permits us, man can invent things, but man cannot create anything. For to create something, you have to take nothing and make it happen. And only God can do that. God can take nothing and make something out of it. God can take an empty void and can sling the solar system into that God can speak, let there be light, and there was light. Even before the sun was created, there was light, because God spoke it into existence. And we find here in John 1 that same God is the Word that was made flesh, that Word that came to us as Creator. Psalm number 33 and verse number 6 says, "By the word of the Lord," that's Him, "were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of Him," or by the breath of His mouth. So Psalms tells us that the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. Out of His word came the existence of all this around us. Colossians chapter number 1, verse 16 says, "For by Him," speaking of the Lord, "were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible." Things we see, the pews, the piano, the organ, the pulpit, all those things we see were created by Him. But there's a whole lot of things out there that we don't see. There's the molecules, there's the atoms, there's all those things that work to keep our system in order. And so here Paul tells us that everything made in heaven and in earth, visible, invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. That's pretty plain. Everything consists tonight because of Him. If it wasn't for the power of God, everything we know would blow up and disintegrate. There would be no heaven. There would be no earth. So He created it. He did the creation. He made it. It was by Him. And then it's for Him. This world that we live upon, that we call earth, literally is for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's for God. And one of these days He'll take possession of His creation. He'll once again regain total control over that. He'll have it for a little while, though, that 1,000-year millennial. We think, man, that sounds like a long time, 1,000 years. In our mind thinking, it is a long time, but a day with the Lord is, that's what, 1,000 years. And so in that period of time, Jesus Christ will have complete total rule over everything that takes place upon this earth. Then we're ushered into eternity, and of course all things are created and consist for Him. So we see His power, the spoken word, these things came into existence. God molded and made man out of the dust of the earth. God took a rib out of Adam and made Eve. And so everything that we see tonight is a direct result of the creative act of our God. All things were made by Him. It doesn't stop there. And without Him was not anything made. If it wasn't for the Word, if it wasn't for Christ, nothing would exist. So we look tonight, as we're in this Christmas season, and John reveals to us that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. John proves above all other writers that Jesus is God. That's why the cults hate John. That's why the Jehovah Witness and the Mormons and all the others, they change it around, move things around, and take part out. That's why the modernists don't want to read the Gospel of John, because John identifies that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. First few words, first few verses we find, and John sums it up. The Word was made flesh. How was He made flesh? He was born. He came into this world, and He was flesh. And He dwelt among us. And John says, we beheld His glory. Can you imagine all the things that John saw? Everything that John could reveal about the Lord Jesus Christ under inspiration, he tells us that the Word was flesh, He dwelt among us, and we beheld all the glory of the Father. And so we find, we see His person, we see Christ as God, we see His power, we see Christ as Creator. Everything was made by Him. If it was not made, if He had not made, then there would be nothing to exist. Now in verse number 4 and 5, we see Christ as life. He's the giver of life. That's the purpose. That's the reason the Lord. It said, John says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. It is because of the very breath of God that you and I live. God breathed into the man, into Adam, into his nostrils, the breath of life. He is our mortal life. We have our heart beats, our lungs work. Everything works in sequence and in order because he made us fearfully and wonderfully made by him. Not only is he our mortal life, but thank God now he's my spiritual life. He helps us in all spiritual problems that come our way. John 3:36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. So we believe the Word, we believe the Son of God, we have life, we live. Not only a few years, the Scripture says man has 70 years, and beyond that is by the blessing and blessing of the Lord. And we have life tonight, but not just mortal life, but we have spiritual life. We have eternal life through Jesus Christ, the Word that was dwelt among us. John 5:24. John says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. John 20:31, these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Everything connected with Jesus is alive. When the Lord came into any kind of contact with death, it came to life. When God called, when Jesus called Lazarus forth, he came forth alive. When men were blind, he spoke to them, he touched them, he would do different ways of the miracle. Everything that Jesus was around came to life one way or another. 1 John 5:12 says, and he that hath the Son hath life. So if we have the Son in our heart, we have life. That life eternal. And that he is not the Son of God hath not life. So that's pretty clear. If we have him, we live. If we don't have him, we die. It's called the second death without the Lord. And so no life could possibly exist without the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God, as the Creator, and then as the one that gives life. Now in verses 6 through 9, those verses that we read, we find not only is it life, but verse 7, 8, 9, all those verses, 6 through 9, tells us about the light that is, and you'll notice the word light in your translation, in your Bible, the word light is what? Capitalized. You know why? Because it's talking about a person. Talking about a proper name. And that name, of course, is none other than Jesus Christ. So in him we see his purity. Light gives off purity. The light that shines through the darkness. Flip some switches back there tonight, we'd be in darkness. That's how mankind is. That's how the world is. Without Jesus Christ, total darkness. Away from the Lord. But the light of life comes on the scene. Then we have the light of salvation. And he is the light that lighteth every man. And John was the one that witnessed that. John was the one that prepared the way. He went forth before Jesus. John was 6 months older than Jesus. And we find that he prepared the way for the coming of the Messiah. History tells us that in those days, if a king was moving and going somewhere, there would always be someone or be a group that would go before that king, and they would make sure the road was in proper order. So when the king came through, everything would be well. There wouldn't be any accidents, there wouldn't be any turmoil. And so they would prepare the way for the king. Well, that's what John the Baptist was. He prepared the way for the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of glory. And he wasn't the light. And the Scripture says here that a lot of people believed that John was the Messiah. He had his following. And by the way, the disciples were followers of John before they were followers of Jesus. Because to be a disciple, you had to come from John's ministry. And so we find that he prepared the way, and he prepared the things for the Lord. But the Bible tells us here that he was not that light in verse number 8. As important as John the Baptist was, as important as he is in Scripture, as important as he is in church history, John the Baptizer, John, he prepared the way for the Lord Jesus Christ, but he wasn't the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. So we see that Jesus Christ, in his purity, he is the light. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, or chapter 1 rather, in verse 5, says, "This is the message which we've heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." That's why hell is called outer darkness. There's no presence of God. There's no influence of God. When you get that far, you'll never see the light of day. You'll never see a ray of light again. Outer darkness. And in him is no darkness at all. John 8:12. "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." That life we talked about, now we follow him and we have the light, or the revealing of life. To have Christ is to have light. To have Christ is to have life. To not have Christ means your total darkness, dying without God. And so tonight we find that in these verses reveal to us some different aspects of the Lord. And the last one, in verses 10 through 14, we see Christ as our Savior, the preeminent, all-powerful, almighty God. He was in the world. The world was made by him. That's already been established. He's the Creator. And John said he made it. He was in the world, but the world rejected him. The world as a whole rejected the Lord. Not only that, he came unto his own people, the Jew, and they rejected him. He came to them, and they received him not. But thank God he comes to you and I. And as we receive him, as we follow after him, then we can become children of the Lord. He is preeminent as our Savior. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2. "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation." That verse says, "For the Lord Jehovah." Really what he is saying, Jehovah, Jehovah is my salvation. He's the Lord. Isaiah 43:11, I am the Lord. Beside me there is no Savior. Acts 4:12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." John 10:9, "I am the door. By me if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." So he is that true light. Now he came to the world. The world rejects him. But to those that receive him, they can become children of God. Thank God tonight we're in a very exclusive class of people called Christians. We are very blessed of the Lord that we are his children. We are children by the new birth, and we're also children by adoption that he took us in. And so tonight, John chapter 1 is as good a Christmas story as you'll find anywhere in the Bible. Even though it doesn't mention the manger scene, it doesn't mention all the different aspects, the gifts and the wise men and Mary giving birth and Jesus in a manger. Even though John doesn't mention all that, he said he's the Word and he was in the beginning and he is our Savior. Thank God tonight that's what Christmas is all about. That's what it's all about for the Lord. Brother Bradley said a while ago that every song could be a Christmas song because it's talking about the coming of our Lord and how true that is. That's really the message of Christmas. Jesus came to this world. He came unto his his own. John says he came to the world, and the world didn't even realize it. He came to his own, and they didn't want him. But to as many as believe, to as many as accept him, but as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become what? Part of his family. Part of his bloodline. We are children of God. And so this next week, as we celebrate Christmas and the birth of our Lord, thank God the Lord became flesh. The Word became man. He became a person, just like you and I. And the Bible says that he was tempted in every point like we are. He went through every sorrow. He went through every temptation. The devil tempted him there in the wilderness. He used those three different things that he tempted him with that covers the whole process of man. And the Bible says, yet without sin. If he had sinned one time, he could not, would not be our Savior. I'm glad I have a perfect Lord, and I'm glad he's still working on me, and one day he'll present me as faultless before him, because I trusted and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ applied to my heart, and we have the robe of righteousness put upon us, and we're blessed tonight to be called the sons of God. We're blessed tonight to be called the children of the King. Praise the Lord. Being saved means more than coming down an aisle, more than tears, more than belief, more than faith. Becoming a Christian means that we are birthed into a family that is royal. And we hear about royalty all across our world. England, the different ones are getting married, and those are having children, and they're royalty, and they wonder who will be next and who's going to take over the throne. Da, da, da. I know who's going to have the real throne. It's King Jesus. And he is royalty. And guess what? I have access to him any moment I want it. I can go to him at the darkest hour of midnight, or I can go to him when the sun's shining bright. I can go to him when I'm happy. I can go to him when I'm sad, because I'm his child. I belong to him. And which of us as a parent would not give our children and try to do all that we can to help them? And well, I'm telling you what, the Lord knows how to help us and gives us those things that we need as a believer. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And John said, we beheld his glory. They saw a little bit more than you and I have. But one of these days before long, we're going to behold his glory. As the old song says, we'll see him face to face. And we'll know exactly the things that he knows. Praise the Lord. Christmas time is a great time. If we keep it in the Scripture, keep it according to the Word of God, it's a very blessed time. And may God help us to realize the Word became flesh. Let's stand tonight and we'll be dismissed.